The last 10 days have been filled with news of one tragedy after another. The most recent being the shooting and subsequent death of the young police officer, Justin Sillehub. When we're faced with tragedy and untimely deaths, we become keenly aware of our own mortality, the truly tenuous nature of our human existence. In weeks like these, our stability is jolted. We come face to face with the reality that none of us are guaranteed long life, that things happen that are unexplainable in our terms. We have a huge need to make sense of things that happen, and so we turn to anything that we think will help us make sense of the events in our lives that are so nonsensical. Some folks look to place blame. Who's at fault here, and how can I get revenge? Sometimes there's a clear line for blame, but so often there is not. Granted, there was an individual who shot Officer Sillehub, and we hope that justice will be served in this case. But even then, his life will not be restored. Nothing will bring this young man back, and that is cause for deep sadness throughout our community. Sometimes tracing the line of blame is as successful as tracing a vapor. It goes nowhere. Accidents happen. Bodies fail. Diseases attack for no apparent reason. In times of deep sadness and insecurity, some of us turn to God. When we are at our most vulnerable, when events crash into our lives that remind us that bad things, in fact, do happen to good people, and there are no guarantees of happily ever after in reality, we turn to the one we know can offer us real answers, real assurance. The Sunday after 9/11, more people attended church than any other Sunday that year. So if we've come here today to hear something that will help us in this time of sadness and vulnerability, what do we hear in our readings? What assurance can we take from here that will help us make it through the next week without being crushed under the weight of the heaviness of our lives? Our reading today from Paul's letter to the Romans may give us cause to pause. Romans 12, 9-21 describes life lived in Christian charity, lives lived as followers of Christ. These words are words we need to hear in Anniston right now and in our country as a whole. Paul's words are timely and worth hearing again. He writes, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer." And if that isn't enough to keep us fully engaged, Paul continues. He's never short on words. "Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." Really? Seriously? Bless those who persecute you? That is really asking a lot. "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." Have you ever noticed that it's easier to weep with those who weep than to rejoice with those who rejoice? For now, there are enough weeping, and we weep with them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Get along. Work together. Realize your own shortcomings and do not try to be something that you are not. Be genuine. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You can't be responsible for the actions of others, but you can be responsible for your own actions. So as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Know if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Does that line cause you to pause as much as it does me? Are we really called to live an otherworldly life in order to heap burning coals on the heads of our enemies? That sounds so worldly. It doesn't sound like the countercultural life that we are so often called to live in the gospel and in the earlier verses of the letter from Paul. It sounds like Paul is saying, live in a countercultural way that will have a very cultural reaction. And maybe he is. Maybe these words of Paul don't come off as well in English as they did in the original Greek. Maybe he is merely stating a result rather than encouraging us to expect it. We know that when we behave kindly toward those who have not treated us kindly, it's much more difficult for them to continue to be unkind towards us. We understand about having burning coals on one's head. Maybe we've even experienced it ourselves. Paul is stating the obvious here, not encouraging us to feed our enemies and give them something to drink in anticipation of causing them discomfort. We know this because he continues by saying, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's the last line of our reading today, and one that we do well to take with us this week. It's so easy to succumb to negativity, to get down into the trenches and the gutters. It's so easy to want to fight fire with fire and evil with evil. It's our nature to want to place blame and point fingers, and sometimes it's really easy to do that, but it's not what Christ would have us do. That is not how we, as followers of Christ, Christians, are called to live. We're called to live in a way that is countercultural, that prays for our enemies, blesses those who persecute us, and as much as it depends on us, live peaceably with all, seeking good above all else, and living lives based on genuine love. No one ever said that being a Christian was easy. It's not. Living life based on love is hard, but the more we do it, the easier it becomes. And the more we work to live into this together, the better it is for all of us, for our community, and for our world. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Amen.